Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Degrees right now at 9 o'clock.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You. Come on, play along. What could happen?
You will have many, many, many babies.
You'll eat lots of cheese.
This magic moment.
You know the game. It's fun. The question's hard. The answer's debatable. 3 points for the blind guest. He is the odd one out.
It wasn't blind. It was based on our original thinking.
Okay.
You happen to be thinking of something else.
Okay. 3 points for your original thinking.
Okay. Now we're getting somewhere.
Every show brings something new, something intriguing, and, of course, something silly.
They both strongly believed that the source of diamonds is maple syrup.
He had you there for a while, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
This magic moment.
The Sublime and the Ridiculous on Says You. Next.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Libyan leaders are celebrating their liberation from Muammar Gaddafi's more than 40-year rule. Transitional government officials are holding a ceremony at this hour in the former rebel stronghold of Benghazi, and thousands are reported to be streaming to the city's central square, with many carrying Libya's flag from the pre-Gaddafi era. The BBC's Katya Adler is in Tripoli. She says people there have been celebrating for several days.
Libyans have been celebrating since Thursday, the day that Colonel Gaddafi was killed. But today from first light, you can really feel the excitement. People telling us they woke up this morning with a spring in their step. If you look around the streets here, you can see just how young Libya is as a country. What this means is that most Libyans have grown up only knowing dictatorship. But today, their transitional authorities are expected to announce full liberation for this country and a timetable for democracy.
The BBC's Katya Adler reporting from Tripoli. Today's ceremony in Benghazi is clouded by international concerns about how Muammar Gaddafi died. His body has been on public display in a commercial freezer in Misrata. An autopsy was completed today. A huge turnout being reported in elections in Tunisia. Tunisians are choosing a national assembly today to rewrite the country's constitution. Eleanor Beardsley reports Tunisians are enthusiastic about the vote.
At the Habib Bourguiba Technical School in the center of Tunis, the line snakes across the sun-splashed courtyard and out the school gates. Men and women of all ages and social classes have come out to vote. 29-year-old Hiduri Hosni says she can hardly contain her excitement.
I can tell you that even last night we couldn't sleep thinking about today. Yeah, it's a special day for us.
There are more than 100 political parties and thousands of candidates running for the 217-seat assembly. Many Tunisians have been confused by the huge choice after 5 decades of one party and one leader. The Islamist party, Ennahda, and a secular democratic movement, the Progressive Democratic Party, are expected to be the top vote-getters. For NPR News, I'm Eleanor Beardsley in Tunis.
A strong earthquake in Turkey today sparked panic. The quake struck eastern Turkey near the border with Iran. Officials say as many as 45 buildings have collapsed and rescue workers are trying to reach people believed to be trapped in the wreckage. The prime minister's office says there are some deaths, but it's not clear how many. Pakistan has released the Indian crew of a military helicopter that was forced to land in Pakistan today. An army spokesman says the 4-man crew was briefly detained. Earlier, Pakistan said the Indian crew had flown deep into Pakistan airspace and that an investigation was underway. It now appears bad weather may have caused the Indian helicopter to stray into Pakistan's territory. European Union leaders holding a summit in Brussels today as they are keeping expectations low about Europe's debt problems. This is NPR. The U.S. Embassy in Kenya warning of a threat to Americans in the East African nation a week after Kenyan troops launched a cross-border operation into Somalia. NPR's Afabia Quistarkton reports Kenya has vowed to hunt down al-Qaeda-linked Somali rebels. It blames for a wave of abductions of foreigners.
Somalia's al-Shabaab militants are warning the Kenyans to withdraw from the rebels' southern strongholds or risk bringing, as they put it, the flames of war to Kenya. In the past week, Kenyan soldiers have crossed into anarchic Somalia, but the Islamist insurgents deny being behind a recent spate of kidnappings in Kenya, saying their neighbors have used this as a pretext to attack Al-Shabaab. The American embassy in Nairobi now warns of a possible terrorist attack in Kenya, adding that the likely targets include locations where foreigners gather, including shopping malls and nightclubs. The embassy says its warning is based on credible information. Ofebiakwa Stockton, NPR News, Accra.
St. Louis Cardinals first baseman Albert Pujols let his bat do the talking last night and in the process hit three home runs against the Texas Rangers to tie the World Series record. After the game, Cardinals manager Tony La Russa was asked if Pujols put together the single greatest performance in World Series history.
14 total bases in the five hits, so four hits, four innings in a row with a hit. I mean, this is, I'd say it's, well, I think the best thing to do is you make that statement and ask somebody, okay, show me one knows better. I think it'd be hard to do.
The Cardinals take a 2-1 edge over Texas in tonight's Game 4. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age.
We're having a party, and everybody's swinging, dancing to the music.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
On the radio.
Now join our panelists and your host, Richard Schur.
Thank you. Thank you. From Bemis Hall in Lincoln, Massachusetts, welcome to Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. He's an up-and-coming insider who's never down and out, Tony Khan. She's a forward-thinking, backward-compatible performer who loves the movie Sideways, Lenore Shannon. And he's a downright upright gentleman through and through, Mr. Barry Nolan. And who's going to lead today?
Tony will.
Well, the Occupy Tony group.
Tony will be the captain.
I believe in anarchy. Yeah, okay.
To my left, team two, she's come from the upscale town next door where she claims it's a case of the blonde leading the blonde, Carolyn Fay Fox. He's ferried in from the islands to be with us today, the slightly nauseated Arnie Reisman. And she packed up the dog and turned down the heat at home so she could turn up the heat right here, Miss Paula Lyons. Who's going to lead today?
Our cousin from Wellesley.
Yeah, I'm preoccupied.
Carolyn will be the captain. Correct answers are worth 10 points or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. Let's begin with a round of Odd Man Out. Great thanks to Christopher Reese of Lexington, Kentucky for his contributions and to Kim Chalupa of Houston, Texas, for urging us by putting pick me, pick me, pick me all the way down the bottom of the email. Which of the following does not belong in the list? 5 points for the correct answer, 5 more for telling me why. Carolyn?
Mm-hmm.
Lemuel Benedict.
Lemuel Benedict.
Benedict. Samuel Beckett.
Samuel Beckett.
Robert Cobb, C-O-B-B.
Robert Cobb.
Richard Foster, F-O-S-T-E-R.
Richard Foster.
And finally, Sweden's King Oscar II.
What? Sweden's King
Oscar II. Lemuel Benedict, Samuel Beckett, Robert Cobb, Richard Foster, and Sweden's King Oscar II.
Okay, I think Samuel Beckett is the odd man out.
Now, why would you think that?
It's just a wild guess.
I think you're right.
I think you're right, too, because...
Well, you are right.
Okay.
Good.
Yep. Oh,
now,
It's the only name I recognized.
Therefore?
Actually, no, it's not. And that's part of what this is all about.
Oh, Lemuel Benedict was nicknamed Eggs.
No.
And Robert Cobb was Corny.
She's
right?
Closer than you realize.
Well, is it?
All right. Richard Foster, Stephen Foster.
No. Is it for food? All named for food. Whoa.
Bananas yeah. Foster. Yeah. And, and Oscar Mayer Wieners?
No.
And Mr. Cobb Salad?
No, Veal Oscar.
That's
Veal
exactly Oscar. Right. 10 right. points. Very yeah. good. Oh, nice yeah. job.
Well, that's perfect for you.
Wow.
You have, that's who, Lemuel Benedict, that's who
oh,
Eggs
that
Benedict
so
are named for. Robert Cobb of the Cobb Salad, Richard Foster. Created bananas, bananas Foster were created for him,
yeah.
And Sweden's King Oscar II is Veal Oscar. There's no, anyone know a Beckett dish that I'm not aware of?
Right.
All right. Well, no dish is named after Samuel Beckett that we could find. I'm sure I'll
not
get mail.
Yet.
Try this one, Tony. What's the odd one out? College. Achievement.
Oh, okay.
Hit. HIT, or miss, MISS. College,
achievement, hit, or miss. That, in a word, was my experience at Harvard in 1962. I kind of covered it all, and I went through Harvard in approximately 7 weeks.
Yeah, that's there you go.
In the front door, out the back. Guys, support your leader.
There's a scholastic achievement test.
Oh,
it's
yep.
Got it. No, that's aptitude.
Hat trick, college trick, achievement trick, miss trick. Oh, do I remember miss trick?
Remember miss trick?
Oh. It's a second word that goes with three of those words and does not go with the fourth.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah, there you go,
it's,
Tony.
It's not parade.
Is college the odd one?
Joe College, Joe Achievement. I'm gonna take Carolyn's route and take a wild guess and say that the one that's out of this is miss.
Unfortunately, you did not do as well as Carolyn. Right?
But that does narrow it down.
It does, certainly.
Let's
so
see.
Lenore says it's achievement.
No, I said it was college.
Which one of us is right?
Let's try to think of a word that follows miss, shall
actually,
we?
don't say it.
Misalignment.
Misspent. Hit spent. Miss.
No. Oh, college I don't think
test.
They're going to get it.
No.
I may have to go to the other side who are just despicable in their smugness over there.
Yeah.
The odd man is hit because the other ones are all junior.
That's exactly right.
Junior college, junior achievement, junior miss.
Junior miss,
that
but
is
hit
just,
is the odd man out. I am so sorry.
How quickly they forget the junior miss
instead
pageant.
Of miss, I would have gotten it.
Yeah, right.
I don't think there was a junior
miss. You know, I pageant. Forgot about junior mints, too. I didn't even think of it. All right, Arnie.
Mints.
Here's the tribute to you this week. What's the odd one out?
Third one.
John Adams.
Okay.
Thomas Jefferson, James Monroe, and Calvin Coolidge. What's the odd
Coolidge
one out?
Coolidge was always the odd guy.
John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, James Monroe, and Calvin Coolidge.
You know, if you'd said Calvin Klein, this would be easier.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, my goodness. Are we talking geography?
We are not talking geography.
All right.
Arnie gets the hardest one always.
Was Monroe ever a foreign delegate of some sort, Arnie? Because Adams was, Jefferson was, right?
Yeah.
Coolidge never was.
Yeah, and Coolidge never was.
Is
but
that,
you're not going
we,
that
are
way.
Are we going in the right direction?
I'm not going that way.
Oh, does it have to do with their wives?
Not at all.
Okay. Well, I think Calvin Coolidge was a good guess anyway.
Well, Calvin Coolidge is right.
All right. Okay,
so
we got
I'll give you what do they get for the blind guess?
But now I have to what you meant.
Yeah.
We have to guess what you meant.
3 points for the blind guess on Calvin Coolidge.
Yeah.
He is the odd one.
Wasn't blind. It was based on our original thinking.
The other three had other positions before the president.
3 points for your original thinking.
Okay. Now we're getting somewhere. And it's not where they're from, and it's not. Is it something they all?
Were they farmers?
They all did.
Were they farmers?
Well, in a way, it's something they all did.
Jefferson and Monroe are almost, well.
Contemporaries, almost?
Almost, yeah.
Well, they're contemporaries in a very interesting way.
Oh, they all
way.
Die on the same day?
Well,
all
now
die
you're
on
getting
July
there.
4th? July 4th?
Except
July 4th.
Coolidge, of course,
who was born on July 4th.
That's exactly right.
Wow.
That is exactly right. John.
And Adams and Jefferson died on the exact same day.
On the exact
right.
same day.
1826, on the 50th anniversary of the Declaration.
That's
Thank
right.
You,
in one of history's
weirdest
coincidences, three U.S. presidents, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, and James Monroe, all died on July 4th. Calvin Coolidge, on the other hand, was born on July
Speaks
on the 4th
volumes.
Of July.
Right.
Try this one, Lenore. A dulce de leche.
Dulce,
yeah.
It's pronounced
dulce.
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 Dulce. Dulce de leche.
Yeah. Whatever. Okay? I know what it is.
Okay. A lemonade.
Yeah.
A ham and cheese on rye. And a peanut butter sandwich. What's the odd one out? A dulce de leche, is that it?
Dulce.
Dulce, dulce. De leche.
That's
a lemonade. A ham and cheese on rye and a peanut butter sandwich.
Well, start with the most obvious. Does it have anything to do with the ingredients?
Right.
I'm going to start asking a few questions.
In an odd way, yes. In an odd way, but not. I don't want to throw you off.
Does it have to do with country of origin?
No.
Okay. The odd one out is ham and cheese on rye. Just
the odd man out is ham and cheese on rye. That's 5
all right.
points.
So we get something for that.
That's 5 points.
Okay.
Well, sugar's not an ingredient.
Sweet. The dulce de leche, when it falls, always falls on the dulce side. The peanut butter and jelly always falls on the peanut butter side. And lemonade, you should hold on to it, because if it falls in glass
eyes... Yeah, right, that's it. I'm going to leave that as quickly as possible.
Barry, do you have a guess?
I am clueless.
I think, are they all ice cream flavors except ham and cheese?
No, they are not ice cream flavors. I go
that's
to
a
the
great
audience.
Guess.
No one knows?
Blank
what?
Faces.
No,
what?
Sirree. There is no ham and cheese Girl Scout cookie.
Oh, really?
God.
Yes.
Girl,
yes.
Lemonade,
yes.
Girl Scout cookie.
Oh, come on.
Certainly changed the mood in this room, didn't we?
Yeah. Girl Scout cookie.
And Girl Scout cookie.
Wow.
After, a lemonade.
After 100 years of faithful service, this is what the Girl Scouts come
That's
about.
Right.
200 badges on my sash, and I didn't know that.
Now, I know, and I'm going to head this off right now. 7 million people are going to write me and say, it's not a peanut butter sandwich, it's a do-si-do, because they just changed it. No, it's not. It's a peanut butter
sandwich.
Now,
wait
sandwich.
Just a minute.
It has been.
Had you said you called a Girl Scout cookie by its incorrect name?
Which is a reason... They drum girls out of the core for that.
Yes.
Let me just ask, would 2 extra points keep you quiet?
Five would shut me up for
life. Give 2 extra points for that. 2 extra points to keep it quiet.
She should have bargained for 3.
All right, try this one, Paula. What's the odd one out? Miles, M-I-L-E-S. Connors, C-O-N-N-O-R-S. Matthews. And Hamilton. This is so nasty. I'm apologizing ahead of time.
Does it have to do with the first name?
Yes.
Let's see.
There's Sarah Miles. Jimmy.
There is a Sarah Miles.
No, but that's not who you're thinking of.
Jimmy Connors.
There's another.
Jim Matthews. So we remember Jim Matthews used to work with us at Channel 4.
Arnie, I thought Arnie would get the Connors in no time flat.
Jimmy Connors.
No, not Jimmy Connors.
Chris?
Ooh, this is a tough one, see?
Sarah Miles, no.
Let me give you a hint. Let me get you started here. The Miles that Kim was thinking of is Vera Miles.
Vera. So
does that help at all?
Well, Vera Miles was kind of like a second banana type.
No? Does the other side have any
Vera
thoughts?
Vera Miles, let's see.
These were the real names of the Gabor sisters.
Yeah.
Were these wives of someone?
Marx Brothers.
No, I don't think. Does anyone in the audience have a thought about this? Well, Arnie, I thought you would get Chuck Connors.
Chuck? Vera, yeah. Chuck, and Dave, you're going
Vera, for. Chuck,
oh,
and Dave.
God's sake.
is exactly right.
Dave Matthews.
Can you explain that to the audience?
Well, now I got it. So.
Well, it's a Beatles song, of course.
Yeah.
When I'm 64.
Yep. Grandchildren on my knee, Vera, Chuck, and Dave.
And the odd one out is Hamilton. That's exactly right. I'm sorry I can't give any points for that, but... Well done.
Is that a reach? We've been on too long.
Really is a reach.
Hey, it's odd man out. And finally, Barry, try this one. What's the odd one out? Plum. Apricot.
Apricot.
Green.
What?
G-R-E-E-N.
Yeah. Oh.
And white.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay, so it's a word, right? It's either before or after word.
It is not.
It's not a word.
No. Plum, apricot, green, and white.
Sports teams?
No.
The colors of the Zimbabwean flag?
Yeah, you want to come by?
Excuse me a moment.
Let's see.
Take your time. Any guesses here?
Right?
Food experts?
It doesn't have to do with...
Arnie has it.
Alcohol.
I didn't have mine, but I got
right.
some.
Schnapps? These are apricot is the odd one out.
Apricot is the odd one out.
And these are names of suspects.
Yes, can you be any more specific?
Is it Clue?
Yes.
It is Clue. Very good.
Mr. Green.
Let's go on to round two, which is played with a little musical help from the North Shore a cappella. Thanks, guys, for being here. It's the first of the Says You Bluffing rounds. Carolyn, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The others have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot good enough to fool Tony's team. 10 points up for grabs to Tony, if he can find the bluffer, or to you, Carolyn, if he can't. A few seconds to come up with a definition for the word Dundrearies. D-U-N-D-R-E-A-R-I-E-S. Dundrearies. Gentlemen?
Today I don't feel like doing anything. I just want to play in my bed. Don't feel like picking up my phone, so leave a message at the tone. 'Cause today I swear I'm not doing anything. No.
Says You's caravan of cajolery stops in Charlotte, North Carolina, this January 7th and 8th for Charlotte Rambling, Tar Heel Tomfoolery with Says You. Then the weekend of February 17th, it's off to Southern California for shows in Thousand Oaks and San Bernardino. Tickets, information, and details are available at saysyou.net. That's SAYSYOU. Where if you follow that join the fun link, we'll show you how to join the fun. So remember, January 7th and 8th in Charlotte and the weekend of February 17th in Southern California, live performances of Says You. Says You returns after this from home.
I'm Krista Tippett. Next time on Being, an inside view of this Mormon moment with Ask Mormon girl blogger Joanna Brooks. With the emergence of Mitt Romney as a viable presidential candidate, many Mormons also see this as a white-knuckle moment, one of deepened self-searching and of wondering, what will they say about us next? Please join me. That's from APM.
Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock.
The streets of Greece have been full of protesters and markets around the world full of anxiety as Europeans try to save their economy. I'm Armin Alney. On To the Point, it's been months since the crisis began, but still no solution. Are the delay and uncertainty causing the euro to become a failed experiment? Was it doomed from the start? Next time on To the Point from Public Radio International.
Weeknights at 8 o'clock. Support for Says You and WPLN comes from WPLN listener members, men from Austin Peay Center for Excellence in Creative Arts, hosting New York artist Spencer Finch, featuring a variety of mediums, including watercolor,
photography, glass, electronics, and more, October 25th at 7, APSU.edu/creative arts. And by Cheekwood, on display now, Visions of the American West, masterworks from the Buffalo Bill Historical Center, featuring 200 displays of art and artifacts, reflecting the epic romance and adventure of the American West. More information at cheekwood.org.
No. Jimmy gonna strut in his birthday suit.
No way.
Let it all hang loose. Come on.
That is North Shore a cappella. Thanks, guys. That is Tom Duarte, Vinny Straccia, Jimmy Martin, Guy Ciapone, and Paul Lopes. Thanks very much, guys. I want to take a moment and thank our scorekeepers for this game. That's Benjamin Scherer on the right and Miss Cricket Fligger on the left. Thank you, guys, for keeping the score. We've had a few moments with the word Dundrearies. We will go first to Carolyn Fay Fox.
Dundrearies. A form of depression brought on by drinking mediocre scotch. No. No, Dundrearies come to us from the wide world of facial hair. Unibrow, sideburns, handlebar mustache, snidely whiplash mustache, mutton chops. Dundrearies are long, flowing, decorative side whiskers about the size of a small sheep.
I love it. I love that.
Small sheep.
Long, flowing side whiskers are Dundrearies.
Yes.
Oh. Makes sense.
Whatever.
Quite possible. Or it could be something else. What say you, Arnie?
I guess this must be a slang term for some kind of pair of overalls with a lot of pockets or something, because it's basically work pants worn by gravediggers.
Work pants worn by gravediggers.
In case you want to take something with you.
It's a good possibility.
Work pants for...
Or it could be yet a third alternative, Paula.
Actually, Dundrearies are those long aprons with deep pockets worn by 19th century washerwomen.
Washerwomen pockets.
Long aprons with big pockets, 19th century-ish kind of thing. That's what it is. It could be that. It could be the work pants worn by gravediggers or the long flowing side whiskers. One thing is certain, it's one of those three, and the choice, Tony, is yours.
Well, we already are deep in discussion on this one. At first I thought maybe it was a nautical term, like being in the doldrums. Like the Dundrearies would be that terribly long wait on a cruise ship between mid-afternoon buffet number 6 and early evening brunch number 4.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm inclined. My father, many years ago, wrote an article on beards and how men shape beards, and there were pictures of every letter of the alphabet that had been done. And I think, for that reason, if only sentimental, that side whiskers are the Dundrearies.
Okay.
What do you think?
Barry?
I think Tony's right.
Wow.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
It's that simple?
That's simple.
Work pants
underpants
and aprons,
for undertakers?
Although, but work pants and aprons with pockets, both those things had pockets, so they may be trying to
Well,
throw
you know, they were
off.
Sitting. They were sitting next to each other.
They were,
one might have been cribbing it from the other, but they've tried that
strategy.
One.
They've
tried
done that
before. Look, we're going to go with side whiskers for really no good reason.
And we'll go with our captain's choice.
Carolyn? The captain has stepped forward and said that Dundrearies are long, flowing side whiskers. Is that, in fact, what Dundrearies are?
Dundrearies. Depression brought on by the other side having the right answer.
10 points.
Richard.
For uncovering... The side whiskers. Very good.
We never win this round. What happened?
No, I know. That's the first time in a long time.
Work pants worn by gravediggers, though, is great. Because, I mean, what do they show up in a three-piece suit?
Yes.
I mean, what else are they doing that day?
I guess.
Digging the grave.
Let's go on to round 3. Little history with Benjamin. Says You's resident scorekeeper brings a little age of discovery to us with his round titled Explore This.
Set in a fit of pique, right?
Yeah. Well, he's just come out of that unit, you know, so he's got to... Please answer the following questions concerning the explorers he's currently learning about in school. Carolyn, Frenchman Robert LaSalle did something that every Broadway producer knows not to do. What did he do?
He went to Florida.
He actually didn't. He
opened on a Wednesday.
Robert LaSalle. Come on, team.
Robert LaSalle did something every Broadway producer knows not to do. What did he do?
He sold too many tickets.
He got too many investors.
He did not, no.
He didn't get enough investors.
Well, that's for sure. Oh, I can't believe you don't know the first...
He succeeded in spite of
himself.
We don't
know the first thing about him.
First law of show business.
The first law of show business?
Yeah. What's the first law of Broadway? First law of Broadway.
Don't do it.
No. I'm going to give you 6 points, because you're pretty much there. But
looking for Mexico and discovered Canada.
Other side, what's the first law of Broadway?
He said Macbeth in a theater.
Oh, yeah. That's
no. That's true. That's true. Sorry. No, that's not it.
So that your thing must be the second law.
Yeah. No, no. This is the first law of Broadway.
He forgot his lines.
I think the scorekeepers do know the answer to this.
He paid for his own trip.
And as every Broadway producer knows, the first law of Broadway, never put your own money in the show. You know what the second law is?
Never put your own money in the show.
You
get 7 points, right?
You got 7 points for that. Right, he financed his own expedition.
Financed his own expedition.
Which was not often done, but he thought he had something. All right. Try this one.
Where did he go?
Yeah, LaSalle, anyone know where he went?
Didn't he go up the Mississippi?
Mississippi. Yeah.
Actually, he went down the Mississippi.
I thought that was DeSoto.
He went down the Mississippi.
Try this one, Tony. What's the truth behind Juan Ponce de Leon's search for the Fountain of Youth?
The truth.
What's the truth behind that?
Well, that actually Poland Springs got there first.
That's exactly right. I can't believe he knew that.
Well, clearly I'm in trouble here.
Did he know it was a fib to begin with?
No, I wouldn't characterize it that way. I don't think he knew that it was a fib.
No, I think he believed it, right? And there was
he believed
the
something.
The evidence was wrong, but he misinterpreted the evidence.
This was about as much as anything his sciatica.
As soon as he got there, it cleared up.
It did not actually, but as soon as he got where?
There. Where he thought
as soon as he got where the weather was not cold and damp, his sciatica got better?
No, it's not that so much.
Willow bark, right?
There is something to be said about Fountain of Youth. I will give you that.
Okay, there was some chemical in the source of this water which actually had a specific in it.
Salicylic acid.
It had willow branch.
Aspirin, willow branch.
You know what?
Acetylsalicylic acid.
I don't know what it had, but I'm going to give you 8 points for that because you did do it. You did a pretty good job on that. Anybody on the other side know?
No. How many points do we get?
You don't get any.
They've been playing that
I know. Benjamin knows. Benjamin, what was he looking for?
I'm not really sure, but...
Isn't this your question?
What do you think?
Then we clearly got the right answer.
Yeah.
I think it had something to do with he actually wasn't searching for the Fountain of Youth. The waters of something else he was searching for.
That's what it is. That's exactly right. He was looking for the waters of Bimini, which were, he was told by the natives, who obviously wanted to get rid of him and get him up north, that these were mineral springs, and they would be good for what ailed you.
The waters of Bufferin.
The waters of Bufferin.
Old tale. I think he was headed in that direction.
He was. He was heading for the waters of Bimini because he was told that they were mineral springs and they would help his lumbago, his sciatica, whatever he had, it'll make it better.
And he thought they were in Florida. Okay.
That's right. Try this one, Arnie. Coronado is generally considered the least successful conquistador of all. Why?
He died in Alaska.
No, he didn't, actually. No. In fact,
least successful.
Well, he fell over by San Diego, and they put a hotel on the spot there.
So he couldn't sell any merchandise from his expedition. No T-shirts, no hats.
Yeah, right.
That's part of it, yes.
Yeah.
You're going to get some points for that, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't they welch on paying him?
What, he get the plague as soon as he landed from the Indians that the previous conquistadors had given the plague to, and so he died?
Yes, Coronado had a coronary.
I can see we're getting no place fast with Spanish explorers here, but why would a conquistador be just considered totally unsuccessful?
He didn't find any gold.
He didn't find any silver.
He didn't find anything valuable.
He didn't find any
gold. He found nothing.
I'm going to give you another 7 points for that.
Nothing.
All right.
Any help from the other side?
He couldn't speak Spanish.
Anyone in the audience?
Did he get killed?
No, he did not, actually. 7 points for that. Anyone know what else?
All right, what else could there be?
He didn't claim any land. He didn't have any riches. He got lost a half a dozen times. Half his people went one way, the other people. But worst of all, he was looking for the seven cities of gold. Remember that?
The seven cities of gold?
Because a native guide told him about it. When he couldn't find it, he had the native guide strangled.
Oh, that's going
bare great. Hands. And for that cruelty and many others, he was tried and imprisoned when he got home to Spain. So not only was he unsuccessful, he wound up in jail.
One of the few rare punishments.
Justified.
Justice at last.
All right.
Okay.
Lenore, what is the great paradox surrounding Christopher Columbus?
That he actually, all his expeditions were unsuccessful, lost money, and didn't he have to return in shame several times, or the first couple of times?
No, it's not that so much. There's a great big paradox here, and we're all part of it.
Well, he didn't discover America.
Well,
you know what?
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Exactly. 10 points. He did not.
Not a paradox.
Here is the man, Americans celebrate Columbus for the discovery of America. He never set foot in America, as most of us know. Yeah, do you know where he did land?
Yes,
he was in
Cuba.
An island. He was in
San Domingo.
Hispaniola,
of course.
Yeah. Even made it Dominican Republic. Yeah.
Yeah, he even made it to the northern coast of South America, but never did he set foot on American, on what we call an United States soil, shall we say.
Cuidate.
Try this one, Paula. They sailed over 40 years apart, yet the voyages of John Cabot and Jacques Cartier determined the course of history for the first 200 years for Europeans in North America. Why?
Were they the map makers?
Well, they were map makers, but there's a reason. They determined the course of the first 200 years.
Cartier and Cabot.
Well, Cabot was also Italian.
That doesn't really...
That doesn't have anything to do with it. Okay.
So, Cartier did not find any diamonds here. We know that.
It's for 200 years. This was the concept of the map and what it looked like for the New World.
That's a great answer. It's not correct. But I know where he's coming from on that. Yeah.
Well, it was mostly in Canada. There was a tremendous amount of activity in Canada with all the trappers and all those folks and St. Isaac jokes, I do believe. But Cabot was more in New England, right? So is it just because the first 200 years were mostly in the Northeast and in Canada?
No, but I'm giving you points because you know exactly where they were, and that's a big part of it. Anybody else want to take a shot at this?
They both strongly believed that the source of diamonds is maple syrup.
He had you there for a while, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Had you there for a couple of seconds.
Were they engaged in trying to find a Northwest Passage?
Yes, they were. They both were.
Yeah.
And that's so not...
That's not it.
That's not... Give them 7 points because they got a long way there. Audience, what do you think? Yeah, those were the original territorial claims on which 200 succeeding years of war were fought.
Okay.
When they both landed there, Cabot first landed, passed by, I should say, Newfoundland and Nova Scotia.
Right.
Cartier went right down past Gaspé, down the St. Lawrence, and founded Quebec and Montreal. They both claimed land that overlapped. And starting from there and moving on, there were always territorial squabbles, which resulted in 200 years of war.
Mm-hmm.
So it was those two original claims that really did a lot toward... determining our character up here. And finally, Barry, the Dutch hired Englishman Henry Hudson to find a Northwest Passage through the continent. Henry had a plan which required a very sunny summer. Why?
Oh, he was going to try and go the northern route. And for the northern route to be ice out long enough, you had to have a very warm, sunny summer.
That is exactly right. All right. Very good, Barry.
Yeah.
If you think about where Hudson Bay is, that's what he was trying to do. He was trying literally to go across the top of the globe. The theory was if the summer was warm enough, the ice would be out and you could literally go across the top of the globe. However, after spending a winter on James Bay, his crew mutinied and he was cast adrift. Right. And Henry Hudson was never seen again.
You know, as an idea of how to deal with unsuccessful CEOs.
Yeah.
James Bay.
This has some merit.
It has some merit.
Yeah, right.
Let's go on to round four, which is Tony's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word. Two will bluff. 10 points, Carolyn, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few moments to create a definition for the word hippie hoppa.
Hippie hoppa.
J-I-P-I. J-A, P-A, hippie hoppa.
Like
gentlemen?
Oh, when the sun beats down and burns the tar up on the roof. And your shoes get so hot, you wish your tired feet were fireproof. Under the boardwalk, down by the sea, yeah. On a blanket with my baby, that's where I'll be. With that guy, come on.
As we begin our 16th year, we wonder who will be the best Says You audience for 2012. Will it be the folks in Charlotte, North Carolina, that first weekend in January? Certainly the citizens of Thousand Oaks or San Bernardino, California, when we get there in February. Do you live in Charlotte, Thousand Oaks, San Bernardino, need a great night out? All else fails, there's us at SaysYou.net. SaysYou, where the Join the Fun link tells you how to join the fun. And while you're there, we challenge you to come up with questions, because, hey, 16 years.
Yeah, on a blanket with my baby. That's where I'll be. Come on.
Briefly, Says You pauses, just long enough for a few interstitial announcements. We'll be right back.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, GOP candidate Herman Cain, pizza man and godfather of the 999 tax plan. We'll look at Herman Cain's outlook and life story, plus where the wild things are, the Ohio animal tragedy, and America's trade in exotic creatures. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
Weekday mornings from 9 till 11.
Hi, it's us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers.
You know, I'm having all kinds of problems trying to trade in my old car.
Oh, dealer's still insisting that it run, huh?
Exactly. If it ran, I wouldn't have to trade it in.
Well, if your old car won't leave the driveway or won't leave it reliably, donate it to this station through the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program.
You'll help pay for the programs you love, and you'll pocket a tax deduction.
Pretty good, huh? Here's how to do it.
For information on supporting Nashville Public Radio with your vehicle donation, visit our website, WPLN.org. Support for Says You and WPLN comes from St. Bernard Academy, celebrating 145 years of education in Nashville, hosting a fall open house for prospective parents Thursday, November 10th from 9 until noon. Admissions information is available online at stbernard.org. And you can stay connected to Nashville Public Radio through our weekly email newsletters and on Facebook and Twitter. Find out more at nashvillepublicradio.org.
I will be having some fun. There's people walking above.
Boardwalk.
That is North Shore a cappella. Thank you, guys. We have had a few moments with the word hippie hoppa. We will go first to a puzzled Tony Khan.
Well, I thought it was yippee yappa because it's a state of indifference between whoopee and oy vey.
Okay, that's a big difference.
Big gap. Very large. No, actually, it reminds me of a sport that my father invented and nobody decided to pick up on called Guts Frisbee, where you throw a saw blade.
You throw a what?
You throw a what?
Oh, saw. Guts Frisbee. No. All right. Let's get serious.
Why bother?
Apparently, it is not easy to catch a boomerang because Jippy Joppa is a game where you have to catch the boomerang.
Catch the boomerang.
A game with a boomerang. And I believe it's catching the boomerang.
Catch the boomerang. The game is hippy hoppa.
Hippy hoppa.
Okay. Could be that. Or it could be something else. Lenore, what say you?
Well, when I first saw it, before I looked at my card, I thought it might have something to do with a little dance that you would do if you had ants in your pants. But then I looked at the definition, and in fact, it is sort of something to do with a dance. It's a way to predict the future by watching mice run around. Like
mice divination.
Yeah. Like
predict
like
the future of the mice?
Mice.
Short and grim.
Yeah. You'll have many, many, many babies.
Could be, yeah.
That's right. You'll eat lots of cheese.
You watch the mice run around, and this divines the future.
They act in a certain way, and if they all group together, that means your mother-in-law is going to die. Right. I don't know.
It could be that. Kind of doubtful, but you never can tell. Barry Hippy Hoppa.
How drunks cross hot sand.
I want it to be that.
Actually, hippie hoppa is a form of hat. It's a Panama style hat, and it gave rise to that familiar phrase that you would hear if you're walking down the boardwalk in Rio, where they would say tap their buddy and go tip your hippie hoppa poppy when ladies walk by. Common phrase heard often in Rio de Janeiro.
Go down to Ipanema.
I think you might be right.
Go down to Ipanema with your hippie hoppy.
Yeah, okay.
You'll be happy.
A hippie hoppa is an Ipanema topper. It is to predict the future by watching mice. All right. Everybody okay over there?
Banged his hippie hoppa, huh?
It's to predict the future by watching mice scurry about, or it is to catch the boomerang. The old game of catch the boomerang. Mm. It's one of those three, and the choice, Carolyn, is yours.
Well, I listened to Tony's, and I don't think hippie hoppa sounds Australian.
Catch the boomerang.
Lenore's definition, watching mice and predicting the future, seems like something a cat might do.
You're my future.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
And then we have Barry, who had time to be really funny. So I think he had the correct definition.
This is how the show works, yeah.
So you think it's a Panama style hat?
I think it's a Panama style hat because I heard hippie hoppa and I thought it might be something South American.
Mm. You know what?
So never mind the 82 Aboriginal languages of Australia.
Hippie hoppa, tip your kappa.
I can't think of another language that takes the J sound and makes it a H, except for something Spanish, I think.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going to go.
All right, and Paula?
Sure,
we'll go.
A tip of the old hat.
We'll go with Barry and the hippie hoppa hat.
Why is a mouse when it spins, as they say?
Barry, they've rejected the mouse, they've rejected the boomerang, and they say that a hippie hoppa is a Panama hat. Is that in fact what it is?
Hippie hoppa, a hat for mice. It's a Panama hat the palm, named apparently from the palm whose leaves it is made from.
Ah,
10 points.
Hippie, hop, hop, hop.
10 points to Carolyn for successful sleuthing. Let's close tonight a round of cryptic destinations.
Cryptic destinations.
And the following ridiculous puns, clues, and references, please tell me the international tourist destination I have in mind. For example, leave lady would be Liberty Bell.
It could be any. It could be an item. It could
be
a bread box.
It could be Disney World.
It could be just about anything. All right? Carolyn, try this one. What tourist destination is brought to mind by the clue, duo leaves out?
Duo leaves out. Yes. That would be
Obviously, it's going to be despicable. You know that ahead of time.
Pyramids.
Thank you, Arnie.
Or as we say in this game, headache.
Duo leaves out, pair omits. Pyramids is the...
Pair omits.
I'm sorry, the doors are locked.
And that was the best one I had, too, so... All right, try this one, Tony.
Mount Rushmore.
Right. It is not Mount Rushmore.
In your dreams.
The tourist destination brought to mind by the clue, enrage a steamy Scot. It's quiet out there in the audience.
Steamy Scot a person's name?
Yes, it is.
McGregor?
Not McGregor.
Ewan?
Did you get it?
Burns.
Don't say it out loud.
Who's a Scottish current?
There's a reason I used steam here. And that's
really?
Steam.
Hot.
Enlighten us.
No, I don't think they're going to get it. I may have to go to the audience on this one. Audience, what do you think?
Anger Watt.
James Watt is the Scot who is the steaming Scot you were looking for. Anger Watt.
Very
is
good,
Angkor
audience.
Watt.
Good. Steam engine.
James Watt.
Not Reagan's James Watt.
Not a current Scot.
Not a current Scot. I'm so sorry. Ooh,
Watt.
They're ooing out there now. All right, well, if you think that's bad, Watt. Wait till you hear this one. Arnie, the tourist destination brought to mind by the clue, Arbuckle's able to ogle oolong.
Arbuckle's able to ogle oolong.
Vatican City. Is where you have to go.
Oh, my gosh.
Arbuckle's able to ogle oolong, fatty can see tea. Vatican City, they're just going to get worse and worse,
really?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, God.
Try this one, Lenore. I won by the length of my Oxford.
Something shoe.
Mm-hmm.
I won, though.
Said almost in like a braggart fashion. Has a certain neener quality to this one.
As in neener, neener, neener?
Yeah, kind of a neener quality.
It's like, yes.
Do you have it on the side?
No. Best.
Don't say it out loud. Does anybody have this?
Long shoe.
Oh, you got it. Excellent. Okay.
I won, so it's sort of braggy-like. It's sort of na-na-na-na-na-na. Beat you by a shoe.
No idea. Tony?
You noticed that I have no opinions.
Tony is doodling. He's not.
Actually, I was drawing a picture of Richard's nose.
No. Give him 4 points for getting the shoe. Audience, what is it?
My shoe beat you.
Yes, my shoe beat you.
Oh.
I won by the length of my Oxford.
Machu Picchu.
Machu Picchu.
Machu Picchu.
They should get there.
Yeah,
right on the show.
Listen, we'll be taking names after the end of this.
Machu Picchu.
All right, try this one, Paula.
Ask him.
Poetic prominence, perhaps.
Poetic prominence, perhaps. I'm very good at repeating.
Poetic.
She used to be a witness.
Poetic prominence, perhaps. This is harder than I thought.
Something that sticks out.
Is it verse? Is
Mount
it verse?
Ararat.
Ear?
Yari?
No. Oh, I think someone has it. I just heard it over there.
I didn't hear it.
Ah, good.
Erewhon? No.
That's what I thought.
Poetic. What do we think poetic is?
Poetic
is rhyming.
Verse, rhyme. Verse.
There you go.
Verse.
Vermont?
Versailles.
Versailles
is right.
Very good.
Where did you get that? Versailles.
Poetic prominence is Versailles. Versailles.
Well, where's the prominence?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I'm not getting it.
Keep yelling.
Size.
Oh, Versailles. Size.
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 I was going to go with size, but no. Versailles.
Versailles.
And finally, Barry, this is for pride. Lot on the line. Cool Kitty dispatches woman.
Oh.
You got it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think
well,
so.
Well, it's probably not the one you want, but
it's good. A good one.
Cool Kitty dispatches woman.
So it's something kills her.
No.
Oh, see?
Carolyn's not right, but it's better than mine.
Well, could dispatches woman be sender, like center?
Yes.
Okay, so center. It's something center.
Cat center. Cat.
Well, you're getting there.
Cool Kitty.
Cat.
Wow.
I don't think they're going to get it. They got the center. Give them 5 points for the center. Audience. Hepcat center. Yes. Hepcat center. Epcot Center. Is the yes.
Hepcat.
Well, that was a tough way to end, don't you think?
What was Carolyn's?
Oh, I do.
What was Carolyn's?
Oh, what was Carolyn's? Carolyn, tell him.
Catskills.
The Catskills.
No?
Which I think was much better. And they deserve to win today. It was a 77-point day and a 14-point victory for Miss Carolyn Faye Fox. Winners this week. Congratulations. That is all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Neil Feinberg and all the folks at Bemis Hall here in beautiful Lincoln, Massachusetts, for making it fun. Scherr and Salkind often write, Antonio Oliard captures the moment, and Zach Moore is back from Scotland, finally.
Is he steamy?
Our closing thought on this occasion, you know you're from Massachusetts. If you think using your turn signal is a distinct sign of weakness, and if just hearing the words New York puts you in a bad mood all day, that's how it is up here, and we'll see you all next week. You can hear Says You Again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at saysyou.net. Benjamin, give them the skinny.
Says You, created and produced by Pippin and Finch, Boston.
You've been listening to Says You on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule for all of our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. For those living with rheumatoid arthritis, the Vanderbilt ASAP Research Office is conducting a clinical trial for adults 18 and older who have rheumatoid arthritis.
Full details are available at 615-936-5841. Those that qualify will receive study-related care and study medication. Full details regarding the rheumatoid arthritis study at Vanderbilt are available at 615-936-5841.
Support for our programming today comes from community support for Nashville Public Radio. Many companies will match gifts to Nashville Public Radio made by employees and retirees. Ask your employer if they have a matching gift program, or find out more in the membership section of our website at